Brethren, I have a question, but I first of all want to thank God for this word of deliverance. That's what I'll call it, the word of deliverance that's coming to us. And to thank God for Bro Mark's dedication to this ministry of revelational teaching of the counsel of God. I'm very grateful to God for it. I want to ask a question whether Bro Mark would like to say something about the Bible that the Jehovah's Witnesses use, the translation they use.
The only thing that I can say, brother, is what I found out that it is these new Bibles are in agreement with them. Do you know much about what they believe and what they teach, brother?
Not so much, but I know some. They do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. They do not believe in the deity of the Holy Spirit. They do not believe
Yeah,
that
yes.
the Spirit of God can indwell a man. They do not believe that one can receive Jesus Christ into his heart. They do not believe that God's intention is that we will be like Christ, and many other such things.
So I have not looked into that cult very much at all. They haven't been around at my door. If they had been, I'd be looking into it because I'd have something to say to them. But no, I'm sorry, I haven't looked into that cult. It is a wicked cult, I can tell you that. And these new Bibles are being created such that they're kind of in agreement to anybody that doesn't want to believe in the real truth.
Yes. When we try to speak with people, bring them into understanding of the counsel of God, especially the matters of observances, they tend to want to dismiss us as Jehovah's Witnesses. They actually ask, "Are you Jehovah's Witnesses?" Because Jehovah's Witnesses don't practice Christmas and Easter and all those things. They do not have people with the name pastors and all those.
Say the last sentence again. They do not have what?
Pastors,
Oh,
pastors,
pastors. Yeah,
several
pastors.
they don't have those.
Well, once again, they're a religious system that has a bad foundation. Whoever their apostle was, that laid the foundation did not lay it on the true foundation of Jesus Christ and the apostles. You lay it on something else, and you've got a bad building.
Yes, other foundation can no man lay.
And I'll say the same thing of the Seventh-day Adventists. They got salvation, they got the blood of Jesus. Okay, they got that. But their apostle was a woman. And she got some things wrong. She got quite a bit wrong. All right, they got some things right. But I don't want to be part of a movement that has half of it wrong.
Yes, it's true.
if you can say, well, we don't have a perfect belief, but we've got 90% of it right, would you be satisfied with that?
No.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Some years ago, when we were in the university, when we were doing our first degree in the universities, and we belong to Christian unions and groups of Christians like that, and we formed, no matter the denomination, everybody came together to form what they called Christian Union.
Christian what?
Christian Union, Christian, CU, Christian Union.
Oh, Christian Union, okay.
Yes. So this topic about the Bibles came up, that was in 1982. 1980 or 81 at Kaduna. Then we were made to know that Jehovah's Witness was a kind of syncretic cult. They brought in ideas together and tried to form some things. And the key thing was that whatever denomination, if the Holy Spirit was denied, like the Jehovah's Witness do and other churches do, we are at risk. We should not associate ourselves with them. And from there, we grew up to discover, as it is today, that beyond what the Jehovah's Witness go about spreading as their kingdom, there are other fellowships, there are other associations that do not believe in the doctrine of the Christ coming in the flesh. So it is not about the Bible or whatsoever. Some people use the real Bible like they are using now, but they cannot open the content of it and explain to themselves. So we believe that where we find ourselves, God should have mercy on us, that we should avoid some people and their philosophies. That's what it is. Because like Jehovah's Witness, they don't believe in, like they don't sing national anthem, they don't receive blood transfusion, they don't believe in many things. And they form what they call Christian Association of Nigeria, all kinds of things. So I think the Christian man should know that it is God's breath upon the Holy Scriptures that make it alive, not just carrying the King James or any other, whatever they call it. Amen.
Amen. Well, they're going back to this man, Origen, back in the second century, this man from Alexandria, Egypt. He studied Plato, he studied philosophy, and he studied so-called Christianity. And he mixed it all together. By the way, he was so corrupt that the bishop of Alexandria actually excommunicated him, put him out. And yet his works still got into the system, got into the Latin, a new Latin Vulgate, got into the Catholic Church with all its corruptions. Here, let me read you again a list of what he believed. He believed that man was a god, divine. The pre-existence of souls. Come on, this is New Age stuff. He taught that everyone would eventually be saved. Now, ultimate wreck. These people that preach ultimate reconciliation, you know, they preach sonship and everything else pretty much the same as we do. And lo and behold, they've got this thing in there that we'll all ultimately be saved, which is a doctrine of devils. Amen. Trinity is a hierarchy, not equality, not the Father and Son and the Spirit being equal. Jesus said to Thomas, "You've seen the Father, you've seen me. Show us the Father." Thomas, I've been with you all this time. You haven't seen the Father? Amen. He believed in baptismal regeneration. Boy, that there's Catholic, Roman Catholic, right down the line. Baptize them all as babies, and then they'll be saved. Oh, well, then they have to do some works too. Amen. Purgatory, temporary hell is what it is. Temporary hell, but you'll get out of it after a while. Christ and the Holy Spirit created by God. Transmigration of the souls of men. Another one of these witchcraft things. Amen. Genesis was not literal. There was no natural man named Adam. Christ became God when he was baptized. He denied the physical resurrection of the dead bodies and the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you don't have any resurrected Christ, what is our hope of salvation? Amen. And of course, he, in order to deal with his own lust, he had himself castrated.
I understand, Mark, that he castrated himself. He didn't have somebody else do it.
Yeah, and if you read, who's the brother from Canada that 50 years in the book in the Church of Rome? What's the brother's name? Mike, you've read that book, haven't you? Shanique, 50 years in the Church of Rome. By the way, he knew a man in the priesthood up there in Canada that did this to himself. Poor man almost bled to death. If you're going to do that, have a surgeon take care of you. And how many of you read that book, by the way, by Shanique, 50 Years in the Church of Rome? Jeremy did, probably because I sent it to him. Didn't you read it, Larry? You never read that book? Howard, you never read that book? Mike, what am I going to have to do? Order some of these books and send them out to you guys?
Go ahead and do it.
No, I think you can get a hold of that book through Chick. Chick Publications will sell that book. Two Babylons. How many of you read Two Babylons? There we go. Yeah, all right, we're getting some hands here now. You know what? I think I've read it four times, and I need to do it another time. It is so, you know, man, with my fading powers of memory, I need to do that again and get everything refreshed.
I was going to say just a few little things about other translations. First off, I'm a King James guy all the way. It's pretty much the only Bible that I use, and I think it's by far the best, the most accurate, everything under the sun. But I want to give you an example of one time when another translation helped me. It's like sometimes when I'm reading in the King James, I'll realize by the Spirit that I'm not getting what God is wanting me to get. And so here's an example. There's a scripture in Psalms, and the context of the scripture is that no one has the excuse that they didn't ever know God, or they didn't ever hear about God or whatever. And the scripture says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day it uttereth speech. And for some reason, that word unto, just that one word unto, had me thrown. I just didn't see what I believe God was wanting me to see. And so I read in a different, I believe it was the New American Standard or something. I have several different versions from bygone years. And instead of the word unto, it had the word after. Day after day, it uttered speech. And all of a sudden, I saw what God was wanting me to see. And that is that day after day, this earth is showing us that there's a God. The way this earth functions, the way the sun shines, the way the plants collect the energy, right on down the list, it's so that no one has the excuse that I never knew there was a God, because this earth is showing us God's plan. It's showing us his spiritual world. And so even if the translation I read that in wasn't a very good translation, God used it to show me something. And so I'm just saying that it's probably not the best idea to be like that lady that's so King James that she, if you wanted to change one word, even if it was a wrong word in there, she wouldn't even listen to you. So I just feel like the King James should be our main Bible, but occasionally I'll get something good out of the, what's the name of the one that elaborates with more adjectives? You know, Mark, you use it once in a while. I can't
think. Amplified.
Amplified Bible. Yeah, once in a while, the Amplified Bible is good to read. And so we can't be so stubborn that we won't let God reveal something to us through any way he wants to do it. So, amen.
Yeah, I use the Amplified Bible sometimes. You know, like in your case, Mike, the verse that you gave, I would say, firmament. What in the world's a firmament? Where's that? So I pick up and read the verse. Oh, that's what the firmament is. So, yeah, they give sometimes better definitions. Sometimes these old English words, the meaning, we don't use those words anymore, in other words. They're good and proper words. Everybody in 1600 understood what that word meant, but that word isn't used anymore, and maybe there's a better English word now that's kind of taken its place. But it would agree with the Greek. If you went back to the Greek, all right, we have a better English word now that's come into use.
You can also go to Esword or one of those that describes the word, but it's something to be careful of also, because it has a lot of different descriptions of it, and some of those may not be right.
Yeah, you need, if you really want to be a scholar, you need more than just the Strong's Concordance. You know, you should get like the Vines of New Testament Word and Wilson and some of these other books, and then go to each one of them and look up. See, now the other option here is that you can learn Greek and you're a very expert scholar on Greek, which I'm not and I never will be. So I have to find out, well, what do these different scholars say that Greek word really means?
In relation,
go ahead, Larry. What is it?
I didn't know if I interrupted somebody. What Mike was saying, even a better place in the New Testament, that shows that no one is excused from the knowledge of God is, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
So yeah, now Larry, there's an example of what we might misunderstand, hold the truth in unrighteousness. If I'm not wrong, what that really means is they hold back the truth. Am I right about that? So without looking that up, you might not get the proper understanding of what that really means.
Well, they refuse to recognize who God is and what he has done in creation.
Yeah, they're refusing the truth, holding it back.
Yeah.
So sometimes to translate from, say, Greek to English, you could say hold, but to make a proper sentence, you should add the word back, hold back. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you go from one language to another, sometimes you have to add a word or two to make the sentence make sense. Because, for instance, we don't have the proper words sometimes in English. Now, take the word meet in Greek, that we're going to meet somebody. Well, if this word in Thessalonians that says that we will meet the Lord in the air, just to take our normal English understanding of that word, you could very well support your pre-trib rapture theory. But when you look the word up in Greek, it is only used three times in the New Testament. And what it means is to go out from a certain place, encounter somebody, and to bring them back to the place you started from. So, yes, Christ is coming. We are going to meet him, but we're escorting him back here. This whole rapture thing only takes about a minute or two to take place, and it's all over. And we didn't go off to some planet somewhere else. And that's the word that's used in the parable of the virgins. Their purpose was to meet the bridegroom. And it's used again in Acts 20, when Paul, after he'd been shipwrecked, the saints in Rome went out to meet him at the shores of Italy, in one of these little towns out there, to escort him into Rome. In other words, it's the man is knocking at your outer gate. You go out to meet him and you bring him into your house. So there again, we didn't have enough English words to make a different word there.
Well, that's why anyone that wants a student of the Bible, which we all are, must use a concordance. I like the strong concordance.
Yeah, it takes you back to the Textus Receptus.
The textbook definition for that word meet is to welcome a dignitary to your country.
Yeah.
And the word parousia, which is also used in that passage in Thessalonians, is also referring to the coming of a dignitary. And he's coming to stay for a while. Well, I want to do one more thing before we quit this little mini series. I want to go again into this topic of whatever happened to the priesthood of all believers. It's a New Testament principle. I think it's the one that Jesus and the apostles laid down, but the church got away from that. And let's look at what really happened and where they've gone wrong, if we might. Maybe just another little study on that. Do you believe in the priesthood of all believers, brethren?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, these beliefs that we hold are why we are here today. And not somewhere else. Well, I guess if we've, let's see, there's another chat. Let me see what's said here. Somebody added something. Who is asking me this about the, who? Oh, Pony, where are you? No, I mean, what country are you in?
Canada.
Where?
In Canada.
Canada? Send
this
send
is
me.
Bro, this is Bro Puts.
All right, I'll give you one better. Send me your address and your email, and I'll tell you where you can get it from Chick Publications.
Okay. Okay, that's all right. Thank you.
Yeah, they'll send it to Canada.
Okay.
Well, I don't know about the e-version. Oh, I believe, no, I don't have an e-version of the two Babylons.
Oh, okay, okay.
And by the way, if you get it from Chick, make sure you get the edition that has the footnotes in it.
Okay.
I heard that they were making one without the footnotes. Two Babylons is no good without the footnotes, because there's as many footnotes as there are text. And they're very important.
Thank you.
I was going to throw out just one little last thing here that I witnessed a couple days ago. I was just driving somewhere, and I saw this guy. He had a dog on a leash going down the sidewalk. And the dog was pulling this guy on his skateboard. And I've never seen such a happy face on a dog. He was just, I mean, just the happiest thing I've ever seen. And they were coming up to a place in the sidewalk that went both ways like that. And as he got close to that sidewalk, he looked back at the guy. And I could tell exactly what he was thinking. He was thinking, well, which way are we going? And the guy kind of just moved the leash a little to the left, and the dog just turned to the left on that sidewalk, just happy as a lark. And I remember when I saw that, I thought to myself, that dog didn't have one thing on his mind but pleasing his master. And I thought, man, that's the way we need to be about God.
You know, Mike, that's the way the sled dogs of Alaska are trained. That man might have 14 or 16 dogs pulling that sled, running like crazy. And he can give the command to that lead dog, and he can stop them. He can go right, go left, any way he wants to do it. And those dogs just love to run. When Rita and I were up in Alaska, what was it, 5 years, 7 years ago, along the side of the river, we were on a riverboat. Along the side of the river, there was somebody that was training them in the summertime, and they had wheels on their sled. And my goodness, those dogs were just going for all they were worth. Well, thank you, brethren. I'm going to turn the recording off here, if I can find it.